talking finances every week, we like to have a little fun too. And you had some fun recently in Nashville sitting down with the guys. First of all, did you get to sit down with all of them at the same time here?
Yeah, there's four of them in the room.
Oh, very cool. So the Doobie Brothers, they're actually, you know, remaking some of their hits right now with a lot of the popular bands that are out there right now. So that was one track there from their new CD. And we're actually going to give you a chance to win it before you can even buy it here on Technically Speaking. But Brad, we want to listen in on your conversation recently with the Doobie Brothers. But first, set the scene for us. Where were you?
The Country Music Hall of Fame is where we got to watch them perform that night.
Mm-hmm.
When we interviewed them, we were inside Starstruck Studios. And we were all together actually in the room where they recorded most of the songs.
Cool.
And they were sitting down in the chair and we were able to just kind of sit there and ask them questions and listen and talk to them. And then we got to go one-on-one into the studio, and that's what they're about to hear right now.
Let's listen in.
Let's start with Denver. When's the last time you guys came through Denver and played?
Gosh, we were there this summer. Did you play this summer?
We might have played the Paramount Theater there this summer. I'm not sure.
Have you ever had a chance to play Red Rocks?
Yeah.
Sign your name on the wall?
Yeah.
Excellent.
We were there, gosh, we played Fiddler's Green.
Fiddler's Green? Yep.
With Boston.
Okay.
Actually, we were there. I think Boston. I think that's who we played with this year.
You know, I hear that Red Rocks is just amazing, though.
It's a great venue.
Unbelievable venue. A friend of mine had a chance to play, and he just said he saw all the names on the wall, and he was blown away that he had that opportunity. You know, a lot of our listeners, and our show actually airs on Sundays, and the song, Jesus is Just All Right. You talked earlier about that gospel background and that flavor. I mean, where did that come from? Did that come from a place of faith, or was it a song that just...
It was a song that I originally heard it on the Birds record with when Clarence White was the guitar player with the Birds. I'm trying to think who else was in that band. Gene Parsons, I think, was in the band. And Clarence White. I think Jim McGuinn was in the band at that time. He's not Jim McGuinn anymore, but he was Jim McGuinn then.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of borrowed the song. We were playing a lot of biker bars and stuff, and it was, I wouldn't say it was tongue-in-cheek exactly, but it was kind of like, hey, can we get away with playing, you know, sort of a gospel rock tune in this crazy, you know, biker bar
environment.
And believe it or not, it was one of the favorite tunes that and people would request the song once we were, in fact, one time we were playing and a bunch of Hell's Angels were in the club and we played the song and this huge guy, he must have been 300 pounds, you know, 6'6", he walks up and he said, I really like that tune. I want you to play that again.
You said absolutely.
Right now. And we said, okay. And yeah. So we played it again like twice in a row. And, you know, it was just kind of one of those things. I think whether you're a person of faith or not, it's comforting to feel those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was such a sacrilegious place to hear a song like that. Kind of, I think people dug it. And then when we never thought we'd record it, really, because it was just sort of a cover tune that we did as a part of our set, you know, a song to fill time with, you know. And we got in the studio, and Ted Templeman said, you know, how about you guys doing trying Jesus is Just All Right? And we go, well, you know, it's just a, you know, it's just a cover tune that we do. He goes, yeah, but it's something different, you know.
Yeah.
And then we came up with that breakdown in the middle, that sort of blues breakdown, kind of Allman Brothers kind of a thing. And that really set the tune apart. It really changed it from the original, which was pretty much a straight ahead, you know, kind of rocker. And we kind of made it our own. We really changed it up in the studio a little bit to be a little bit more, we changed the arrangement somewhat. But it's always been a fun tune to play, and we play it to this day, really. It's one of those great, great songs.
Now, it's on the new album, is that right?
It is on the new album,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, with the new album, what's the difference from the beginning when you started recording to the way it is today with technology? How has that changed how you guys perform and I guess the ease of making an album compared to what it used to be. I think one of your songs, you had, what was it, 92 takes, I believe, and on this album it only took 3.
Yeah, well, that's largely due to the Nashville musicians. But you know, it's one of those things somebody said the other day. I think it was Steve Lukather in an interview. Somebody asked him, what's the biggest thing missing today in American or in pop music? And he said, musicians. and it's kind of true. That, so yeah. It was great, I think, of all the places in the world to do this record, Nashville was probably the best place we could have thought of, because it's still live tracking dates, live musicians in the studios all playing at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a thing that, you know, that's where our heart still lies, I think, as musicians. We like playing in an ensemble and getting that something that only can happen between a group of players mm-hmm. who are actually playing at the same time. Yeah.
What's the difficulty, if any, that you found of being a group, right? A band of brothers. I mean, obviously, it has its challenges. I work with my brother, and there's times that we love each other and times that we hate each other, but blood is thicker than water, you know, and we always make up and whatnot. But as far as, you know, bringing a group of guys together, what has that been like over the years of keeping the unity together?
You know, we've gone through a lot of changes. It's been a little bit of a revolving door. We went from being that quartet to being a quintet, and our bass player left, and we added a drummer. And I don't know if we really had any vision other than, you know, to have the drums be louder.
Okay.
Because we were playing so loud that we needed to have more drums so we could keep the beat,
band.
You know. But that's kind of been a signature for us, the twin drums. Mm-hmm. And really, we've been through, we're looking at a Spinal Tap of drummers. We've had, I don't know how many drummers we've had. Let's see, like 6-7 drummers, okay. Something like that. Two of the longest playing drummers, Keith Knutson and Michael Hossack, who played for years and years, played with both of them for a long time. But we still come back to that because I think it's something that people love about the band, that mm-hmm. we do have that going on. And sort of like the Allman Brothers have that happening. The Dead didn't always have two drummers, but of course neither did we. But that twin drumming thing, there's something kind of cool about it, and it's a fun interaction for us, you know.
So you've had a massively successful career, about to launch another fantastic album. One of the things I love to know is, and this might be an individual question, but how do you define success for yourself when you look in the mirror? Because for some people it's awards, it's accolades. For others it's just the pure enjoyment of the music, or it's feeling like you've left the world in a better place. How would you classify success for you personally?
Well, I think it has more to do with the things you see in hindsight more than you project for the future, you know. And for me, certainly one of the things that will always kind of connotate success for me was being the Doobie Brothers, not just because it was certainly, obviously, for me, a great opportunity career-wise from a lot of different viewpoints, but mostly because of our friendships, you know, and the fun we really had making traveling the world together and playing music. If you remember anything, you don't remember what position your record was on Billboard mm-hmm. or how much money you made from one album to the next or how many records you sold. It's always those moments that you had as friends out there, you know.
Yeah.
And like Pat said earlier, to actually find something like this that we all love to do, be able to share it as friends over the years and still at our age, for God's sake, still be doing it. It's kind of amazing, you know. I don't know that anybody could be more fortunate than that, you know.
That's fantastic. All right. Thank you, guys.
Brad, thanks, buddy.
Brad. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.